Well, have a look at the passage you have in front of you. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there's another passage in front of you, Proverbs 4, from verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now, I hope you won't mind, be indulgent with me. I want to begin this morning with a personal testimony. So I hope that won't put you off. Okay, so there I was, ignorant, absolutely ignorant. And I'm going to show you just how ignorant I really was. I confess that I know and knew nothing about nutrition, nothing at all. I don't know about food and anything like that. Because real men eat whatever they want, right? Isn't that true? Girls have to watch what they eat, not guys. Girls are these beautiful, delicate little things. Men are made of sterner stuff than that, you know, puppy dogs' tails and all that sort of thing. Clueless, right? Clueless. Ignorant. So I spent my whole life exercising, okay? I grew up surfing since yay high, you know. So I surfed my whole life. I'm always fit to some extent or another. And that means, obviously, I'm bulletproof, right? Obviously, I'm bulletproof. Girls have to watch what they eat. Not me, I'm bulletproof. So you go to Coles. And what are the ladies doing? Well, they take these boxes of food down and then they start reading this tiny little panel. Like, really? And so they read about fats and carbs and sugars and polyunsaturated and polyunsaturated and polyunsuperoxidized, hydrogenated, unsaturated, and whatever. It's got nothing to do with me. If it's blue, it's edible. If it's red, I don't like it. Yeah, all that stuff. I'm bulletproof. Bulletproof, you can't touch this. I don't have to worry about what I eat. That's for weak people, you know? Not for us strong people. Now, so here's what happens. I turn 50. The Australian government sends me a letter. How's this country? Amazing country. Sends me a letter saying, Mr. Olivier, you've turned 50, which I know. You can go for a free checkup. How cool is this? You can go for a free medical checkup. And first of all, I'm insulted. Does this government not know what a finely tuned machine I am? I'm not like other 50-year-olds, yeah? So I'm laughing it off. Just, well, what a great country. Know me, how's Australia? Great country. Can you believe it? Little wifey isn't that amused. Darling, I think you should get a checkup. What? You know, are you kidding me? I should have known that the two governments would take sides against me. You know, I should have known that. And let me tell you, men, you can ignore the Australian government, but you can't ignore the domestic government. So, all right, I swallow my pride and I go see a doctor for a checkup. And he sends me for an ultrasound. It's fair enough. So I remember going to Joondalup and I'm having this ultrasound. There's this little Asian lady and she's got this thing going over my tummy, you know, like this. And I ask her, is it a girl? You know, because, you know, I'm making a joke of the whole thing. This is hilarious, you know. I'm invincible. I'm bulletproof, you know. And then she pauses. And she keeps coming back to the same spot. Even I know, huh? So obviously you try, don't even try. What is it you can see? Obviously she smiles warmly. She's not going to say anything. A week later, my doctor calls me. The results have come through. I go in to see my doctor. I know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to ask me if I'll pose for Men's Health or or if I'll be a living specimen of health. Anyway, he sits me down, and the doctor says to me, "Dwayne, this is a real surprise. Something's come up. You know, this is a joke, right?" He looks at me and he says this, "You've got non-alcoholic steatohepatitis." Yes, I'm like, "What?" He says, "I've got advanced fatty liver disease. In fact, I'm on the edge of it being irreversible. My liver is in a chronic state of disrepair." Are you kidding me? I want to double check the name. Are you reading the right results? I don't drink, not a drop of alcohol at all. How can this be? It's impossible. The doctor says, "I'm sending you to a nutritionist." You know that thing ladies go see? "I'm sending you to a nutritionist, a dietitian." I can tell you, I walked into those doctor's rooms looking at the other weak people, and I walked out like a whipped schoolboy. My doctor didn't just diagnose my bad liver, he diagnosed my pride. Oh my goodness, was I exposed. Anyway, so I walk out there, I go see a nutritionist, and was I wrong? This person at ECU Joondalup taught me so much. I thought I was a healthy eater, because I don't do Maccas. I don't like that stuff that much anyway. You know, but here's what we worked out, and I don't know if you're going to believe me right now. I worked it out again. I worked it out with my wife yesterday, double checking. At the end of the day, here's the truth. Every single day, I was consuming 32 teaspoons of sugar every single day for the last 15 years. I was bulletproof. Can't get to me. I had no idea. I wasn't aware. My liver could not function anymore. It couldn't handle it anymore. I was blissfully ignorant. I was on my way to diabetes or cirrhosis of the liver, whatever. You know what happened? The mirror lied to me. It looked so good, I've got to be honest. But the mirror lied to me. Here's what's happened. It couldn't tell me what's going on the inside. It lied to me. My life has genuinely changed. Genuinely, my life has changed because of what that doctor told me. And now I really am bulletproof. No, that's okay. Why have I told you this story? Why have I told you that? I think it's obvious, isn't it? That's what it's like to come to a Bible teaching church. People out there, and some in here, are ignorant, blissfully ignorant. They have absolutely no idea of the disease that is festering inside. No idea. Absolutely blissful. And it's to come to a Bible teaching church is confronting. Very confronting. The guitar won't confront you. The Bible will. It's confronting. You can go to some churches, it's a Christian rock concert. It'll make you feel good. It won't confront you. This morning, I'm asking you to listen to Dr. Jesus. Because Dr. Jesus will show you you're not bulletproof. He will show you things that no one else can show you. You might be sitting there tempted, like I was, to judge by appearances. You might even judge things by the way you feel. Because I want you all to know, when you've got liver disease, you don't feel a thing. I felt great. But here's what Dr. Jesus is going to do. He's going to show you the truth of what's going on inside. And he's going to show you, and this is going to be confronting, what you and I have is a million times worse than liver disease. Worse. Dr. Jesus says, you and I have got heart disease. Our hearts are impure. Our hearts are divided. Our hearts are torn apart. They're at war with themselves. They're fighting to cope. They're fighting to process life in Perth. And they're collapsing. Our hearts are desperately deceitful. You do not need people to tell you lies. You're doing a great job by yourself. Your heart lies to you. It doesn't tell you the truth. It's poisonous. And it's worse than your liver. If your liver collapses, you'll die. Ain't no biggie. You were going to die anyway. If your heart kills you, you will not just die. It will drag you to hell forever. There is no comparison in the seriousness of what Dr. Jesus is talking about. Please don't be ignorant. Don't be misled. You're not bulletproof. But I've got great news for you here today. Fantastic news. It is still reversible. It can still be cured. It's not too late. There are wonderful testimonies of people who've had their hearts purified, fixed, patched up. And those testimonies are, there's people here today as well. This is what Jesus says about people who've experienced this. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. That's the testimony of those who've had their hearts cured. Blessed are they. You've come with me over this journey in the Beatitudes. You know what blessed means. Happy. Lucky, if you want to use that horrible word. Congratulations. Good on you. Good on you are those who've had their hearts cleansed, fixed, decontaminated, purified. They will see God. Now, what we want to do this morning is, what does he mean? Let's think together. What does he mean? Okay, so first of all, blessed are the pure in heart. What does Jesus mean? What is a heart? What is a heart? I know what a liver is. I know what a liver, well, I really know what a liver is now, by the way. What is a heart? It's not this, although we will always point to this, but it's not that organ that pumps blood. It's not Valentine's definition of your heart. The Valentine's definition of your heart is, ooh, you know, it's emotion as opposed to think. Here's your thinking, here's your feeling. No, no, no. What is your heart? In the Bible, your heart is the center of your love. Your heart is the center of your loves, your trusts, your commitments, what you give yourself to, what you worship. That's your heart, the center of your loves, the center of your trusts, your commitments, what you give yourself to, what you chase, what you worship. That's your heart, according to the Bible. And in order to be wise, God explains it to us. And that's why we've got this passage here in Proverbs 4. So have a look on your outlines at Proverbs 4, verse 23. Look at what the Bible says. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The Bible says, don't worry about your liver. Watch your heart. See, do you know what flows from your liver? Bile. I think so. Is that right? I need to see another doctor. But anyway, do you know what flows from your liver? Is purified blood, because your liver filters your blood. Do you know what flows from your heart? Everything. Look what it says. For from your heart flow the springs of your life. From your heart, the center of your loves. Everything flows from that. And this morning, I want to show you three things that flow from your heart. First of all, your mind, your thinking flows from your heart. Listen, you will find reasonable whatever your heart treasures. Don't think you follow your mind. You don't. You follow your heart. And your mind will find reasonable whatever your heart treasures. So, for example, let me give you some examples. If your heart treasures money, your mind will find it reasonable to get more and more and more. You will sacrifice friends. You will sacrifice time, family, in pursuit of money. And all the way through, you will think it's reasonable because your mind justifies what your heart treasures. Let me give you another example. If your heart treasures sexual pleasure, your mind will find it reasonable to have sex with anyone and everyone, whatever gives you pleasure. Your mind will find it reasonable. Science, nature, biology, medicine tell us that homosexual intercourse is unreasonable. It is a disaster for the human body. But if your heart treasures sexual passion, your mind will make it reasonable. You will follow it anyway. You will even go so far as to call it love, because your mind will be bent by what your heart treasures. The mind justifies whatever the heart treasures. So says the Bible, guard your heart. It's not just your mind that follows your heart. Your emotions, your feelings follow your heart. Your heart will hold up a thing of value, and your feelings will be strapped to that thing. Let me give you an example. If your children are the number one treasure in your heart, then your emotions will be slaves to them. Either you will be crushed, disappointed if your children go wrong, you won't be able to cope, or if they do well, you will be proud, unbearable, because they are your number one treasure. And by the way, your poor children, if that's you, your poor children, you will crush them under the weight of your messianic expectations. They can't be God, even though you're making them be God. Whatever you treasure in your heart, that is your functional savior, and your emotions will line up behind it. So out of your heart flows your thinking and your feeling. Let me give you a third one. And your will. What your heart loves and trusts, your will make a plan. It'll be doable. Your will be determined to do whatever it takes once your heart has picked a thing of treasure. Nothing is too hard for me if I love it. Nothing's too hard for me if I love it. Your thinking, your feeling, your will, all of that flow from your heart. No wonder verse 23, look at it. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The Bible doesn't say protect your liver with all diligence. Here's the thing. I was casual. I was ignorant about my liver. I didn't look after it at all. That's the problem with the people of Perth. They are looking after their liver. They are looking after their hearts, like with butter and milk and, you know, the little heart symbol. Hardly anyone is guarding their hearts with all diligence. Let me come at it from another angle. If your heart is the center of what you love and trust, I could summarize it in one word: worship. Your heart will worship something. Everybody worships something. Everybody. God says, be very careful. Be super careful about what you worship. Okay, so how do I guard my heart? Look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk from you. The first thing the Bible teaches is that watch your mouth. You can't see what's wrong with your liver until that lady does this. You can't see what's wrong with your heart until you watch what you say. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you swear, if you lose your temper, if you're always grumbling and complaining, if you're critical of others, your heart is taking strain. It shows what's on your heart. Great way to read your heart. Secondly, watch your eyes. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward. Your gaze be straight before. What are you looking at, everybody? What are you looking at? That'll tell you what's on your heart. Your eyes hold up little dazzling shiny baubles because your heart is looking for something to treasure. And so your eyes says, maybe this, maybe that. Your eye is looking for something to present to your heart to treasure. Watch out. You might love it. If you're looking at naked women, soon your heart will look at every other woman and undress her. They all become objects all around you. Your heart has become poisoned by your eyes. Watch where you go, verse 26. Keep straight the path of your feet. All your ways will be sure. Where's your trajectory? Where are you going? You casual? Where are you headed? Watch where you're going. Your heart could get sick. Verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Don't go near sin. Do not say, oh, well, can I just say this is a very little thing. Don't even swerve. Your heart might end up loving it. Then you'll be sick. Guard your heart with all vigilance. Now, with all of that in mind, we can understand, because Jesus always comes in the context of the Old Testament, always. Look at verse 6 again. Blessed are the, can you now see what he's saying? The pure in heart. Now do you feel the weight of what he's saying? For they shall see God. Notice Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the pure in liver. Blessed are the pure in heart. So the next question is, we understand the heart. What does pure mean? What does Jesus mean, blessed are the pure? What does he mean, pure? I don't think pure is very hard, is it? What is pure? What is pure water? Means it's unmixed. It's just water. Pure water is only water. What's gold? Pure gold. Pure gold, there's no alloys in it, no other metals or whatever. There's a man called Soren Kierkegaard. He wrote a book. It's $3.43 on Kindle. I downloaded it. I did my best. I found it too hard. I'm not that smart. I try to read. I think I got the gist of it. So don't even try and read his book. Well, do and come and explain it to me. But he has the title of it. It's not a book. It's an essay. It's a sermon, if you like, long. Here's what he said. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Pure water is just water. Pure gold is only gold. A pure heart is when you've got one love, one treasure, one trust. A pure heart is undiluted, unmixed. Listen to the sum of the Old Testament. Have a look at this verse here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is, how many? One. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and a little bit left over for the eagles. All purity of heart is to love one thing. One thing only. The New Testament says exactly the same thing. Have a look at the New Testament. Here is the book of James. You adulterous people. What is adultery? When you love more than one thing. Do you not know that friendship with Perth is enmity with God? Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Look at this. Purify your hearts. What is that? You double-minded. To be pure is to love one thing and one thing only. Why? Because there's only one place in your heart for one love. Look again what the Bible says. Look at the next verse. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, I mean, really? Obviously, they hadn't invented kitesurfing yet. This is before kitesurfing. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not. But why can't they both be in here? Father, you have 96.734%. And kitesurfing, you get. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Because there's only place for one love. Dwayne, can we just get real a little bit? Let's just get real. I do love God, but I love my wife and I love my children also. If that's you, no wonder you don't love any of them. Huh? That's pretty confronting. Let me explain it to you. Love God only. Then, as an outworking of your love for Him, love your wife. Love God only. Then, as an outworking of your love for Him, you love your children. There's no rival loves. There's only one love. And this is how it flows out for my wife. And this is how it flows out for my children. And this is how it flows out for kitesurfing. And this is how it's all an expression of one love. The great Augustine said it this way. He loves thee too little, who loves anything which he loves not for thy sake. Huh? What did he just say? He said this. He loves thee too little, who loves anything which he loves not for thy sake. If you find that confusing, then let me quote Uncle Bob, Bob Marley. Maybe you'll understand Bob Marley better than Augustine. One love, one heart. That's what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those are the happy people. I've told you this before. I'm kitesurfing and there's somebody else. If I'm kitesurfing because I love my Father, who's more blessed, him or me? I am. I'm better off a million times over. He loves kitesurfing. I love God. And therefore I kitesurf. Because I love my Father and the good things He gives me. Blessed. Why does Jesus say they blessed are the pure in heart? Why are they blessed? Yes, why? Everyone listen to this. What you love, you will get. Everyone hear me clearly. What you love, you will get. And it will be your reward or it will be your punishment. Think about it. Think. If I love and trust chocolates, what will it do for me? You know. What will it do for you? If I love and trust money, what's it going to do for me? Ah, it'll give you lots of stuff. No question. But what will you become? Will you be able to be happy with the stuff it gives you? Let me give you an obvious example. Everyone will shake their heads. If you love and trust alcohol, what will it make of you? If you love and trust anything less than the one God, it will turn out to be your disaster. You will always see what you love. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. What will happen to them? They will see God. You'll get what you love. You'll get what you love. If you love and treasure God, you will end up seeing Him. You will end up getting Him. Can you take on board how glorious, how magnificent, how ecstatic it will be to see God? Everybody, think. Imagine seeing. You know the God that we keep talking about? I've been talking about Him for a long time now, very long time, sorry. Imagine seeing Him. Imagine seeing Him. Imagine. Do you imagine for a moment somebody is going to see God and go, so what have we been talking about the whole time? I would have thought God was going to be like, that's a little bit disappointing. Real? Do you really think that's ever going to happen? Do you think so? To see God is indescribable ecstasy. It's what your heart couldn't even contain. Now, my favorite hymn, one of my favorite hymns, Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture it will be, prostrate before your throne to lie and gaze upon thee. Do you know what it'll be like? How many times in your life have you seen something and gone, oh my, you got to see this. Dude, come check this out. I'm taking a picture. You got to see this. How many times? You know it happened to Jesus. Have a look at what Jesus says. Look here. He's praying in John 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation. Jesus says, people, do you know what it's like? I come from there. I come from, guys, you got to see this. You have to, Father, please let these people see what I've seen. That's Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see it. They will see God and nothing else. You will not want to turn your face away. It's like standing on West Coast. And you know those sunset. How's the city? And you watch those sunset, those streaks of lilac and purple. It's an emotional moment. And that sun starts going down at Mullaloo Point or whatever. And you watch it. You can't take your eyes off it. And your little five-year-old runs up and says, Daddy, Daddy, watch me switch off my torch. Dunk. Oh. Is there a comparison? When you see God, everything will be like a little torch being switched off. There's a problem, though. I hope you're feeling it. Am I ever going to see God? Who can see God? Those who go to North Coast Church. No. Yeah, the Bible tells us who can see God. Look at this. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? This is where Matt began this morning. Who shall stand in His holy place? Everyone who calls himself a Christian. No. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Oh, my goodness. Did someone just slam a door? That's not me. I've loved lots of things. That's not me. That's not me. What are we going to do? Has anyone here been to London to see the Queen? I went to London. I lived in London. I went to see the Queen. You know how far I got? I stuck my nose through the gates on her driveway, like everybody else. I couldn't get to her bedroom. In fact, I couldn't get past her driveway. I couldn't get close. How will I get to see God if I can't see an old granny? With respect. There is access. It's at the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross of Jesus Christ, something happened. The blood of God flowed from the heart of God. That is the only detergent that can purify the heart. When that soldier stabbed Jesus, clinging to the cross, nails through, and out flowed blood and water, there's the detergent that can purify the human heart. Only God's heart can purify a human heart. Jesus' heart was pure, absolutely holy, and therefore it has the power to purify. Whose heart can clean your heart? Do you want a blood transplant? Who is going to purify your heart if not the bleeding God himself? At the cross, he purifies hearts. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flows, be of sin the double cure. Cure me from its guilt and its power. Dr. Jesus purifies hearts. You need to go to the cross. You need to go to him. My doctor, his diagnosis of my liver disease changed my life. All of you have said, gee, Dwayne, you're getting skinny. It's true. I've changed my life. My doctor diagnosed me correctly. Then I became religious. And I walked out of his rooms and fixed myself. And I did. And I'm still doing it. Jesus is better than my doctor. When Dr. Jesus diagnoses you, he says, don't go out my rooms. Stay with me. I'll purify you too. He diagnoses and he cleans. There's nothing you can do. Go to him. Blessed, says he, Dr. Jesus, are the pure in heart. They will see